Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom and greetings. Bless you all. Hallelujah. My name is Sister Ashley, the host of Sister to Sister Show. Mother Jennifer's with me tonight. I have an audience. Audience, give a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. Thanks to everyone who listened, everyone who came. Thanks to the sound checks if you're listening live in the chat room. If you're catching us on a repeat, if you're catching us on our Help Me channel on YouTube, we have a live show every fifth day night, and it starts at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Go ahead and put that link in to anybody new. Sister Sakina, if you don't mind. Sakina's here tonight. Go over to my chat room. I see Tens. Let's jump over to Mother Jennifer in Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here tonight, again, for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that you can hear me. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley. What an exciting time to be in the Most High Yah. And I'm just really excited that he has chose me. So, again, it's an honor to be here. And if you can hear me, then I'm prepared to move forward.
Hallelujah. Exciting times as the Most High is continually and has always been gathering us from where he scattered us. So special greetings to everyone scattered in the diaspora, to those just waking up or anyone just finding us, following Pastor Dell. You would only find us through him, his voice, and those associated and affiliated with this ministry. We give all glory to the Most High Yah for his doing, his work. It is all him, and I'm very, very thankful to be a part of it. I'm thankful to be rooted and grounded with my foundation here already, to be able to share my life, my experience, and my voice with anyone who's listening and anyone who receives me. Bless you all. Thank you to Deacon Bill. Great is his faithfulness towards me as a wife and to the body, his love, his servitude to the Most High Yah. I have a lot of sisters that are beloved behind me, beautiful servants of the Most High Yah in this audience and many that are listening. Thank you. Greet you all sincerely from my heart to yours. To Cocktails and Conversations, bless you all the way out in Kansas and there in Marshayla's home, Brother Mike Harrison's home. Bless you all. Mother Jennifer, share your heart.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I just want to continue to acknowledge the Most High Yah for the identity that he has given me, for choosing me, for belonging to him. You know, just really being coming from a world where we had no idea who we were, serving in Christianity, not having any idea at all of the root of Christianity, where we came from, who I was at all. I just want to really acknowledge the Father for keeping me during those times and even continuing to keep me now during this season of just really being given the truth from a true shepherd, from a husband who truly leads and guides his family. So I just want to acknowledge the Father first and foremost. I want to acknowledge my elder, Elder Rufus, my head, my husband, for just truly taking a stand for truth, not being afraid to speak on the truth, not being afraid to just pour into his family. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for just truly preparing the hearts and the minds of his people for where we are now, for things that are to come, for just really teaching the people of Yah who have ears to hear. So blessings to Pastor, blessings to his family for serving him, and just bless you. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Glory. Hallelujah. So if you are on the up and up and following us and staying closely knitted and following the videos that have been posted recently, there was a great interview, Mother Jennifer, let's talk about it just for a moment. Last night, Spiritual Combat, I could have watched it for hours, even though I was getting sleepy. The children were going, Grandma Barb and I and the Bijas, the Bills, we met up at the Chow Hall, watched it live, had pretzels, popcorn, pineapple juice, other things, I don't know, but it was awesome. Introduce the interview a little bit, just because we're coming from it tonight. I'm going to play a couple of clips too, but we're going to go a different direction than you might guess. So stay tuned, audience. Mother Jennifer, what's your thoughts about last night's interview? Introduce it and talk about it.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. The interview was done by Brother Michael Israel, and he interviewed our leaders. He interviewed Pastor Dow, Elder Kabir, Elder Robert Mathis, Pastor Daniel Muir, and he interviewed Elder Rufus as well. And, you know, there were, Elder Kabir. And there were just a lot of, points, a lot of information about living set apart, you know, just about where we are now in the times where we are living and what it costs to truly be a set apart person of Yah, to be a set-apart saint of Yah, what that truly means. There's a lot being put out right now in the media, and a lot of media really putting attention on things that are negative, you know, like a lot of negative speech is what they would call it, because the people of Yah are, you know, waking up, realizing who they are, realizing that they are chosen. And so the interview focused last night a lot on being set apart. And if you have spiritual eyes, really showing us where we are now, what's going on spiritually, what should be our next move, what should be our mindset. And I thought it was very well done, really talking about the cost of, you know, giving all. And these men have all given all, and they've all talked about that last night. You know, they gave their experiences and just really shared from their hearts, and it was a really good interview, Sister Ashley. So yes, I could have listened to it forever. I know we played it again today, and there was a lot of wisdom given. I think, you know, one of the things that really, really is striking me now is our shepherd is just really trying to really put into the people that you need to make sure, you need to make sure that you are ready. If you say that you belong to Yah, you're going to be tested in that. You know, you're going to be tried in that. And you need to make sure that you're not just saying things that you don't mean. So you can just tell it over and over and over and over again that this is what he's trying to get across to the people. Sister Ashley.
It's amazing what's going on, and I had so much come to my mind with reflecting on the interview. I had so many, you know, verses come to my mind. So many powerful statements were made, and I'm going to start here. I'm going to go, okay, I was sitting in my seat in awe, and Grandma Barr was beside me too. We were, you know, we shared things back and forth a little bit, both of us just so grateful. And who is this man, Pastor Dow? Yes, we know him. He's a vessel. He's just a vessel of the voice crying out in the wilderness, okay? Some of us have known him for longer than others. It matters not. We're all listening to a voice being made manifest, proclaiming a message that none of us have ever heard. Similar to John, who said, you know, prepare the way for Yah. Prepare the way. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness. So I'm in awe that, let's start with the background. Let's say at least 13, 14 years ago, there was maybe 10 subscribers on YouTube to Pastor Dow's channel. Today we're sitting at 207,000 subscribers, between 6,000 to 7,000 videos. A life that started, a commitment that started with a body of believers back in 1999. It's now, you already know, 2022, coming up on 2023. And a place called Lafayette, Tennessee, area code 37083. Got to say that because there's a Lafayette, Louisiana, and a guy in the chat room last night thought that perhaps that's where they were. But at least, I'm going to guess it, 14 years ago, this voice that pastor still proclaims, it's a still small voice that spoke to him that said, make yourself known. By making himself known, obviously, the lures that we say it, the fishing lures that we all are aware of, is a huge list between, and I'm speaking of Pastor Dow's YouTube channel, you're going to find fitness or gun training, you're going to find some songs or some music, Hebraic words in the Sabbath day, homesteading tips or survival, just a little bit about everything, maybe some silver. Check out these chickens. How about this parenting or Joe Biden, ATF, religion, Russia, you name it, right? Now we're in NFL, NBA, politics, and if you haven't seen it, there's a series called Christianity versus Israelite. It's a really good series. A lot of people are inspired by it from many years ago on Pastor's YouTube channel. That's how it started. I've been a witness to this man's life as well as those that we call the hub or home base here on this community, some for 25 years, and then many additional very faithful, powerful, believing people, individuals, saints, sisters, men, women, leaders, you name it, have added themselves to this body from, let's say, 1999 all the way up until now. And it was a reflection in my mind hearing the interview last night, because the way that that interview and that dynamic was spoken, the way that it was able to connect to one another as they spoke, as well as just reach out, is unlike any other Kyrie Irving video you're going to listen to. Agreed? Has anybody listened to any Kyrie stuff behind me, audience? A little bit. There's nothing like it out there. There's no video like it. So, of course, it's going to go viral. It's going to do what it's supposed to do, which is fish out whoever belongs to the Most High Yah. But it was last first day when the idea of this week's show was already brewing in my mind, and I went to some of the, we've said old-timers before, we've said old guard, pastors called them old guard, Elder Becker calls them old guard, for some of you who knows us all personally. I'm going to share some stories from the old guard from the very, very beginning, but I got some clips to back it up. And I hope that this show all comes together and connects dots. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for just joining me. I know we've already kicked it off and talked, but do you have any announcements? Are you ready to roll? I know it's 19 weeks until our Passover celebration. We're in the dry, dead season, but we are still lively, still pressing. And do you have any announcements, ma'am?
No, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I have no announcements. I'm ready to roll.
All right. All right. If y'all don't mind, just listen to me for just a moment. I'm going to portray another story, and I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy. I'm going to start in chapter 32 to try to walk you up. If anyone is new to the dynamic of what the Most High is doing, if we can get out of self for just a moment and really admire the fishing dynamic. Okay, that's the first thing that I just give Yah the glory for. Absolutely wonderful that he would get us out of the pits that we were in, truly. And so many comments were made. Even Pastor Daniel Muir had said about coming into this way, being set apart. The more you're set apart, the more you realize how much you're not. Or that's in my words. But you learn so much more about being set apart the longer that you stay set apart. Okay? And I think each of you would understand that dynamic just through the experience of life and age itself. You would understand that the longer you've been out, the more you've been set apart, the more, of course, that the Most High has been able to minister to your spirit. So that is why I went to the old guard. But let's tell the love story. In Deuteronomy 32, and I'm going to start at verse 18, and I'm reading from the Hallelujah Scriptures. I'm going to read really quickly because it's not a focus for tonight, but it's a love story. Let's start with our Creator and our Father's heart when he said, "You neglected the rock who brought you forth, and you forgot the El who fathered you. Yahweh saw this and despised it because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters." That means because of what they were doing, that they were provoking him. He said, "Let me hide my face from them. Let me see what their end is going to be. They are a perverse generation and children whom there is no trusting, and they've made me very jealous. They provoke me with their worthlessness, but I make them jealous by those who are no people." Okay, so he in turn said, "I'm going to inspire you to jealousy by the other nations." He said, "I'll provoke them with a foolish nation, for a fire was kindled in my wrath. I'll gather evils upon them. I'll use my arrows upon them, wasted by scarcity of food, consumed by the heat, bitter destruction, the teeth of beasts ascended upon them, the poison of serpents." It's not a fairy tale. "The sword bereaves from the outside. Fear scares them from the inside. Both the young man and the maiden, the nursing child, even the man with the gray hairs. I've said I should blow them all away. I should make the remembrance of them to cease from amongst men. And if I did not fear the enemy's taunt, lest their adversaries misunderstood, unless they said our hand is high, they are a nation lost. They are lost to all counsel. There's no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this and me, and they would consider their latter end." That was our people. So when we jump over here, we're jumping many, many years, right, to some, I'm going to go back to it, okay, some say it's a fairy tale. It's amazing how that if it's considered a fairy tale, that the voice they cried in the wilderness, even now and then, all echoed the same thing throughout the angles of time. To a people and a remnant that was always existent. Because these stories were told by different people in different geographical locations. They bear witness of themselves. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming. Here's the beauty. All right, we just fast-forwarded from Deuteronomy to Jeremiah. You know, we went some years forward, and it says, the days are coming, says the Most High, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke. That's what we just talked about. But it says, though I was their husband, this is the covenant which I'll make with the house of Israel, that after those days I'll put my law in them. I'll write it on their hearts. I'll be their Most High, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor. Get the shofar ready, Chef. No longer shall each man teach his neighbor, and each brother would say, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. Go on and hit that shofar. Alright, I'm not done with my love story, but where's your heart at, Mother Jennifer? Where's your meditations taking you?
I'm thinking about, Sister Ashley, when the Most High is talking about how we have provoked him. You know, you can read all that, and you can easily skip over the fact that we provoke him. And how many times do we stop and really ask ourselves, Father, how have I provoked you? Or have I provoked you? Do I have things in my heart that are provoking you, things that are not of Yah, things that are not of you, that provoke you? Do I provoke you with vain thoughts, things that are just vain, period? So how many times do we actually stop and think from that perspective? That's where my thoughts start, Sister Ashley.
Beautiful, because now we know that a remnant is to be prepared. We know that in the end, the dragon will be wroth with remnant. And I'm watching even the video last night going, this is spectacular. Honestly, to step outside of yourself and to look and go, these are the election of Yah. The word says that the remnant are according to the election of grace. Literally, just an election of favor. That's it. An election of favor. And yes, Jesus, Messiah, and blood does play a part. Bloodline. Micah said, I will make her that halted a remnant. That means I'll make her that was once stubborn, the one that once rebelled, the one that turned from me, I will make her a remnant. And of her that was cast off, I will make them a strong nation, and the Most High shall reign over them. And that's beautiful. So that's my declaration tonight, that the Most High Yah is the one reigning over us. He truly is. I know that on a very personal level, and I hope that some of you are continuing your testimony with the Messiah and that you believe it with all of your heart. But I truly beckon with you tonight that you would join us as believers in faith, because that's what it takes. We're just a people of faith. Check this out. In the beginning of our accounts at this community, when we joined together to come out, of her, large majority of individuals did not previously know themselves at all, much like all of you who now have uprooted your lives and your homes or followed your husband or followed this voice crying in the wilderness to join yourself to a perfect people on earth, right? Growing in perfection, that is. So I got two clips I want to play, but I want to share some of the persecution me and Grandma Vicky reflected on today, and this was something that had hit my mind after hearing Elder Rufus's video today, Mother Jennifer. And I know that you're very aware of that circumstance because you're right there by his side. But some of the conflicts early on that even I witnessed, okay, within my 15-year, almost 16-year experience here, and then my husband would be at least 24 years with the saints on the land, and some a little bit longer than that, okay? So from 1999 till now, there's a lot of stories. Early years, okay, you got this man named Pastor Dow that's bringing these people out and really leading in the idea that we're going to own, we're going to share, we're going to break bread, we're going to come together, we're going to believe, we're going to join in faith, right? And these people, had that faith and still have it. And we saw a lot. And when I was here, there was, if you want to say, a lot of underlying persecution just for the fact that we dwelled together. There was no other reason. Because of how we dressed, okay. Because of us following a black man, that was a large part of it. We had, if I use the word conflict, if we had conflict with someone, I don't mean that it was from our angle, okay? And I know, Grandma Barb, if you think of anything else outside of what I'm going to share, please say it behind me. We had, if I say conflict, remember, it's not from us. We had conflict with funeral home, and maybe how should I word it so that all of you know, the funeral home had conflict with us. The police department has had conflict with us. The power company, okay, electrical company, the county clerk, or, you know, offices within the general county's offices up here. You got the census people who have came back to back continuously insisting that we answer questions. We've had the road crew that at one point took up to 12 years to even finish a road, no matter how many times we actually called for help. It is a general public road, okay? Tons and tons of prank calls. Tons and tons of prank calls. I've taken my fair share of them, and I mastered handling them too, which is another show. Very humorous. CPS has came to the land. Four-wheelers have been up and down the road. Trucks shouting obscenities. Of course, the N-word, all sorts of hate. Yes, they've been followed out the gate as well, but that's something from the beginning that's happened. We've had people run their cars into a ditch line that we have when they come down the lane and, you know, get terrified and turn around, and we're the ones helping you out. We're lifting your car out of the ditch, okay? We've had locals call, give false reports on us. We've had lies of illegally dumping sewage. As Pastor has said so many times, you guys have heard it, that once we were, you know, he was crackpot, kook, cult, et cetera, all these titles for these early years, it was a lot of this, you know, tedious persecution. It was always something. Even down to the mail woman who doesn't want to deliver our mail because she's scared for her life. The mayor has been here before. Countless wellness checks on people we don't know. A neighbor that moved in. Remember back in the day you could actually go, visit your neighbor, maybe play in the same neighborhood with other children, not have any complications or issues. Now no one knows anyone and no one speaks to anyone. You don't know if it's a pedophile beside of you or a homosexual. We go see a neighbor and some of the sisters go to be kind, truly, just to welcome them. What is a half mile from our main location, and she spews out lies instantly about us. Well, it's nothing to do with anyone knocking on her door. Okay, I'm surprised you took the, you know, you bought the land or took the rent, et cetera. Anything you can think of, Grandma Barb?
Yes, ma'am. Pastor was actually ostracized from being one of the preachers added to the prison ministry.
Thank you. Hold on, y'all.
I went down and talked to the mayor. I went down and continued to talk to the mayor until Pastor got added on the roster.
All right, pause, because they can't hear you. I remember this. Grandma Barb, come on up. I remember this. I was a part of it. Grandma Barb, we got to go there. I'm going to let you tell the story. This is very interesting, right, Mother Jennifer?
Very, Sister Ashley.
All right, we're going back in time tonight. Say it from the beginning, what you just said.
Yes, ma'am. When I got here, Pastor asked me to be a church secretary. He says, Sister Barb, it's not really a position that is in the ministry, but I'd like you to do some letter writing and stuff for me. So one time he came up, he said, look, said, I'm having a real tough time getting to be added on the prison ministry here in town. All the other ministers, the Baptist minister and so on, they all are on the roster, but for some reason they will not allow me to be added to the roster to come in and talk to prisoners in the local, you know, county jail. He said, would you contact the mayor and see if you can talk to him and see what you can do? I said, yes, sir. I made an appointment, went down and talked to the mayor. He was very kind. He said, but I just don't have legality over the county situation. I'm just the local city mayor. I said, well, sir, I know you speak to him a lot. Could you please just try to? He said, yes, I will give you my promise. I will try to. So I continued to speak with him and so on. Called him and reminded him, you said you'd speak to him. Well, he calls me back. Yes, Pastor Dowell is added onto the roster. He can go and do it. So Pastor took it from there, and then Ashley kind of knows what we did from there.
Hallelujah. All right. So from my perspective, you went with us, right?
Yes, there was the second time.
Yeah, the second time. Okay.
Mother Carol. He and Mother Carol went, and all went well. Everything went pretty good. He talked to the men, the men prisoners. And then Mother Carol talked to the women.
Hallelujah.
And then this was our second time when you and I went.
Yes, we go the second time. And you know what? It was a breath of fresh air for the inmate to just see us. You know, we're dressed holy. We're hospitable. We're super kind, friendly, not shoving a doctrine down your neck at all, becoming all things into all men, literally just going out of our genuine love for people. That's it. And we sit in the classroom with maybe 10, 15 women or so, pass out some worksheets. They have a great time. Pastor, you know, preaches, shares the gospel with them. Hallelujah. We, you know, he's going to commit to going back. We're going to go back. I wasn't even married, I don't think, at the time. And we're going to go back to this prison for sure, right?
Yeah, do you remember?
Go ahead and tell that story.
Well, Pastor just happens to mention something about spirits. And one woman said, look, I did have some experience with having a spirit cast out. She said, but I think that it may have come back because I'm almost like you were just saying, seven times worse. And so then that took Pastor into a little different scenario. Do you remember from there, Ashley, then?
No, I don't.
Yes, it took him into talking a little bit about deliverance. And he
started
to talking about fear and how you could have a spirit of fear. And he was just really trying to give them a little, voice to yourself, you're in prison, you need to just not have fear. Well, about that time, we see a couple of people that were off-duty cops come into where we were sitting. This is the classroom with just the women. Do you remember this part?
No.
Okay, well, they come in, and they come back, and they sit in the back of this classroom, and Pastor's, you know, we're looking at it, we don't quite know why they've interrupted Pastor's thinking. They didn't say anything, but they were off-duty, and so they're sitting back there. And so they let us know, whatever your conversations are, they're not real welcome, and we've now got a presence in here to document this stuff. They didn't say this, but you knew exactly.
And we're there for what? It was an hour, 2 hours is all they were even allowed.
Yep, that's it. So they allow Pastor to keep on talking and everything, but they let him know that we're not appreciative. We've got our off-duty cops in here now listening to the classroom.
And amazing.
Do you remember the end time? We never got invited back.
We never got allowed to come back.
Yes, that's it.
Exactly.
Yes.
We were not allowed to come back. I went to visit a high school friend. Thank you, Grandma Barb.
Yes, ma'am.
I went to visit a high school friend in the same prison even years later, and just because of my association with a black man who is my covering master and head husband, it was fine if I ever went. It was fine. I could see her, paid her money. Pastor gave her offerings just to keep her head up in there. She was a family friend, neighbor and long-term family friend of the community here. So he supported her when she was in. Guess what? I take my husband one time and boom, can't come back, can't go in with him. He cannot come in with me, right? It was a whole racial issue. Not to mention, of course, we've had issues with sales clerks. I mean, at every store imaginable. Mother Carol, of course, has a story, a racial story of an occurrence that happened to her in a local grocery store. I've had run-ins and issues with the librarian, the head librarian over all the county libraries. Yes, I had issues with her. I had a sales clerk issue. Every time I would go into the store, she harassed me, wanting to know, tell me where you live. Where do you live? Where do you live? I would, you know, and finally I got my hand out one time. Give me my change back. It's like $5.32, right? Give me $5.32. You owe me, please. I don't have to tell you where I live. That's another long story. What I mean is I'm trying to build the early small persecutions that taught the body of believers initially to hold on, to press through, to pray, to unite, to join together. There was a circumstance that was continual in our lives that brought us together. Diane texts me and says, oh my gosh, I remember that was Tomoko and I. We went up to talk to the neighbor. They accused Pastor of sleeping with all the women. I ran into my cousins from a nearby town, and because I did grow up in this town. I've ran into my cousins who've accused sexual things. I've ran into high school friends who accused revolutionary, enough bullets for a revolution and a war. I thought surely we weren't talking about the same people. I'm not with the people trying to start a war. Like, no. So when you come to us and join yourself to us, there is absolutely no story that you can tell us from any form of persecution that we would not believe that you have joined yourself to the people of the book. If you lost your family, mother, father, sister, brother, we would believe that. And you would know that that is fruit. That is the fruit of the sword that was coming to divide the family from the beginning when the Messiah prophesied about it. Now, all that to say, Mother Jennifer, I got some clips to play. I got some things to read. So, hey, just talking. How do you like those stories? What comes to your mind?
Unbelievable. Sister Ashley, absolutely unbelievable. You know, it's interesting how you can do something like a prison ministry, and this is how you know the devil is real, because as soon as you start talking about spiritual warfare, you start talking about spiritual matters, spiritual things, you start discussing spirit, all of a sudden the devil wants to show up. You know, this is how you know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's absolutely unbelievable. Sister Ashley?
The persecution against Pastor Dow has been very, very unbelievable. I heard from what was his name? If you guys are following the Kyrie Irving, you would know. He's another athlete, I believe. And he said he has empathy. He has empathy for other people's situations. And that alone is what I speak from when I speak about Pastor Dow. I'm not exalting him above where he should be. He's the man of Yah. I'm not, you know, as they say, we're brainwashing, we're worshiping him. I'm not, okay? So let's make it clear that he's the man of Yah, and he's in his place in our hearts. He's the voice at this time that we're listening to and we're putting our trust in, okay? And then my thought leaves me. Empathy. Okay, empathy. Back to how I am towards Pastor Dow in my heart. I have seen, I'm not going to say seen with my eyes, because there's an unseen force that's always working in our lives. So I'm a witness to this unseen force trying to tear him down from the beginning. You agree, Grandma Barb?
She got that one.
Hallelujah. She got the baby in the back. So hundreds of people have been a voice against him from the very, very beginning. He can go anywhere, especially early on. The love and maybe the respect that he gets now from YouTube fans and subscribers, that's all righteous fruit from the years of early persecution, from handling every rumor and being attacked to the point where racial slurs were painted on the bridge nearby us. If some of you have been around long enough, you've seen the video, you could drive maybe 2 miles from this location and read what was racially painted on the bridge, from the nooses that hung around to the slogans and the stabs, through all the comments of the sexual accusations, anything imaginable. And I know that it strengthened him in the spirit to continue to press with the same faith and the same testimony all these years as nothing but the Father. Because after all these years that you can still stand on the word that you proclaim, that is conviction. That you would not be moved by the years of persecution is incredible. And some of you, us, haven't been tested in that manner, right? So I want to share that first before I go to the clips and jump back to you, Mother Jennifer, one more time.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Sister Ashley, when the Father has placed a conviction in your heart. There's nothing that is going to move you from that. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to stand no matter what. And Pastor had a great video on Patreon about that, and he's been talking about it a lot, you know. And it is, so it's important, and he's really stirring the people of Yah up to make sure that they are sure that you have the proper conviction in your heart to follow the Most High Yah no matter what, to make sure that you are sure. And if you notice, the message is coming up a lot. It really is, to make sure that you know you belong to him, to make sure that it's not just words, to make sure that you understand that it is a true conviction that he has placed in your heart. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And the question is often posed, when he comes, will he find faith? When the Most High Yah returns and our faith believes that he is and will, when he returns, will he find faith in you? And for once, wherever you're sitting, you're not looking around for someone else to produce that faith. I'm saying, will he find it in you? Will he find it in me? Let's go to this clip. All right. This is Elder Rufus in Straightway, Georgia. This is a clip from last night's Hebrew Israelite Professional Athletes and Leaders addressing Kyrie Irving. You can find it on Spiritual Combat. We referenced it throughout the night. If you don't mind posting that link, Sister Sakina, we'll be right back. Check this out. This is Elder Rufus.
He do spiritual surgery on every single one of our hearts and minds. And he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get that from the washing of the word. You don't think like he does, but his book can get you to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the faith that he has, but his book can get you to that point. But you have to be committed 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You have to honor and respect and give full fledged to the command that you've been given. And that takes a leap of faith. Every single person that has come out of her, I don't care who you are, what you are, why you are, you have exercised a level of faith. Now, will you constantly and consistently keep increasing that faith? Will you be the good ground that the seed has been sown on, where your roots can go deep because you can't be shaken? It's a true conviction. Can't be moved from it. This is it. If this isn't Yah, I ain't gonna never see him. I can tell you that right now. Word is constantly pliable daily to see more and more and more of him. Because I want to assimilate. I want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the best bride to him that I can, that he would ever have. That one that he, no, I don't even have to ask. I just give a look that he gonna do. And then in turn, it's the life salvation. So we as husbands, being wives to him first, show our wives how to be that committed, that submitted, that highest level of obedience. And in turn, they do it and show it to the children. So it's this perpetual goodness going down the line to the third and fourth and fifth and sixth generations of them that love it. That's what's necessary when you come to a community. And that's the plus and the benefit, is that Yah designed this for you not to do it by yourself. He already has done all the work. You just have to believe the ending. He's telling you what it's going to be. You just got to believe that's what's going to take place and receive the enduring substance that he gives you to get there. You said it earlier about how he's coming back looking for faith. And I think it was Pastor Daniel that said he's going to find it right here in Straightway. And I agree with him 100%.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer takes faith to home birth, faith to homeschool, faith to homestead, faith to Shabbat Shalom with all her family, and faith to fellowship, faith to be a mother, faith to commit to deliverance and healing. It takes faith to listen to Pastor Dow's voice, to believe that the Most High Yah is speaking through him or to you. It takes faith. It really does. And then when you accumulate or obtain your measure of faith, you can have an increase by the next obstacle in front of you if you just produce it. So it is up to us as well. But what's on your heart after you heard your husband speak?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. The thing that really sticks out is when he was talking about the spiritual surgery and how, you know, the first step is really acknowledging that we don't think the way that the Most High Yah thinks. You know, once you actually sit down and acknowledge, okay, Father, my thinking is faulty. My thinking does not line up with your word. That's when you can go and be washed with the water of the word, you know, and understand what true conviction is. When you acknowledge that, okay, my thinking is not lining up the way that it needs to, instead of coming in and thinking that you know everything when you really don't. And then he talked about the order. You know, once you acknowledge that your thinking is not right, then you can follow the order that's being placed, the example that's being put out there for you. You know, the husband puts out the example of the type of bride he is to the Most High. And then his wife can be the bride that she's needed to be to her husband. And then it gets, the example gets passed down to the children. So there, it really, truly is a process. And I think this was the question when somebody was asking about coming out of her, you know, and living on community. And one of the things that he said last night was that when you come to community, your mindset should be, you know, what can I do for the community, not what can the community do for me. And it does take a level of faith to put yourself in that position, because you're there to serve. And in order to serve, you do have to have faith. And like you said, Sister Ashley, once you exercise that faith, you know, when you first get here, when you first come this way, the mindset should be is that, you know, my option is to trust the Father. My option is to trust Yah, period. Like there's no other options for me. And as you go on, your faith increases because you see him working in different areas. And as your faith increases, then, you know, you're trusted with even more. But it starts out with exactly what Elder Rufus outlined, you know, humbling yourself first and foremost and acknowledging that we don't think the way that he does. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's hear the next clip, and then we're going to take you into some old stories. All right, let's see. Here we go.
And we knew in his word that he would bless the work of these hands right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to put our hands in this dirt. We started to till the soil. We started to put seed in the ground. And we started to, and things started to grow. And Yah completely and continues to bless us over and over and over and over and over. You want to know why? Because when he comes back, he's going to find faith here. That is what faith is. It ain't you just walking around talking about, oh, I believe. I believe I was a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had to put my helmet on and go out there and hit people.
Mm-hmm.
I can say it all day. And that is the main issue. That's why I'm glad, like you say, you parked the bus right here. I'm glad you parked it here, because this is the answer. I tell folks all the time, you wouldn't believe the phone calls. Rob rides with me the majority of the time. He'll tell you the phone calls that I get over and over and over, and I always tell people, are you ready to hear this? Because I want you to understand something. Once I'm finished speaking, just like everybody that's new, that's on here tonight, hearing all of this, once we finish speaking, you can never say you didn't hear.
Hallelujah. We can never say we didn't hear. There's a lot required. So much is given, much is required. And I'm going to talk to you about the people of the faith that started this land. Mother Jennifer, anything before we read?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just reminded about something that Pastor Daniel had said. I think this was over the summer when Pastor Dow and the brethren had showed up to help Straightway Goshen with their first block building. And I remember he said that Pastor Dow told him, you know, just take it one block at a time, one day at a time. And when you think about that, it's so true, because if you start looking at, you know, the big picture, you start thinking about, you know, you could easily overwhelm yourself. You know, you start thinking about, okay, how many do I have to do today? What do I have to do today? When will it be complete? You know, you start jumping ahead of the game and you start being overwhelmed. But one day at a time, one block at a time, and That's what I think about when, you know, I have certain situations to deal with one day at a time, one block at a time. And my block is not a literal block, but, you know, my block could be something that could be so small and minute today. But if I just take it one step at a time, then my faith can be increased. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm going to play, let me give you a little background. So when I went to some of the old garden, I didn't go to all of them, but I just needed a little bit for the show, whatever they could give me. I asked Elder Becker to do some communications through the phone on a group we call Marco Polo. And so you're going to hear him. I hope the audio is good. Please give me some sound checks. You're going to hear him on the polos. He initially knew that what I was going to do is, and I had Amara help me. She out in California, I'm telling you, that sister has helped me for as many months and as long as I have known her. And she is and was able to type it up for me. But Mother Jennifer said, it'd be nice to hear his voice. It really would. And I said, hey, I agree. I'm going with you, Mother Jennifer. We're going to play it. So that's that background. So you're going to hear stories. I asked them to give me a little bit about the early years of faith, you know, what happened, the miracles, the faith, the stories that maybe no one's heard. Now, remember, why am I sharing this, though? Because the Messiah even said, if you don't believe me, believe my fruit. You know, so there was a lot of people that doubted the Messiah. I don't think that the Father would ever put his spirit in anyone that would be received by the people. There's no record of it. So when his spirit is in any man or any woman or anybody on earth, they are greatly rejected and they're not received. So he said, please just believe the fruit. Okay? So heaven bears witness of me. I'm not running around trying to bear witness of myself. I'm trying to teach you, right, as the men would say in the word. I'm trying to teach you this gospel, trying to get you to open up to see that there's an unseen realm that's happening that's really doing this. Even Job, he said a quote that I like. Job, if you know, he's belittled in Christian doctrine. But if you've ever been through any persecution, any rejection or any trial in the faith, then you would relate to Job to know that it crushes you. And Job said, it was Job 19:22, why do you persecute me as God, and why are you not satisfied with my flesh? Like, why do you come at me as if this is me? I have not done this of myself. I have not caused this, right? Why are you mocking me, you know? And there really is something innately evil inside the heart of men and women that would reject the most righteous or misunderstand the trials and tribulations and the dynamics of the Father's Spirit. It's happened throughout all time. All right, so I say that, so let's jump back to Elder Becker, okay? We're going to listen to his communication and give me sound checks. Now, I did ask Grandma Vicky. Grandma Vicky had a lot of stories, and I'm going to use me and Sister A is going to help me out. We're going to do something different. So thank you to Grandma Vicky if she's listening tonight. She has a lot to share, a lot of experience, and it's worthy of honor. I also want to give a shout-out to everyone on this land because the original saints that may have started it are now older, and the family that we now have as all ranges of different diversities of people, ages, ethnic backgrounds, and all that, and we are a family that has been added to, and they're very welcome, and there is no us and them. There's no old and new. It's we. It is we, but we often reflect on the old just so you would remember the beginnings, and just for honor's sake, it's not the people that we exalt. It's the Father in them in the beginning, truly. So remember that focus as we hear the stories, all right? I'm sure everybody's pretty interested to hear what Elder Becker's got to say, right? Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Experiences from the old guard. I can think of a few, a handful. I may have missed some, but I will tell you the ones that I do know. There was a woman from Georgia I don't remember her affiliation, if she was connected with anybody. She traveled from Georgia. She had leukemia, diagnosed, doctor verified leukemia. And I do recall that Pastor Dowell did pray for her. And she had went back and got a doctor's verification, and leukemia had disappeared in her body, so Yahweh had healed her of leukemia. I recall a man that's now a local landscaper, him and his family, in right here in Lafayette, Tennessee. He had prostate cancer. I believe he was in his mid-late 20s. And he came here. He knew Sister Ashley. And he came here looking for healing from his prostate cancer. So if I do recall, it was myself, and I want to say Deacon Bell, that we not only cast some spirits out of him that brought the cancer in, but also Yahweh healed him completely of the prostate cancer. Let's see. There was a woman from Walgreens. She used to work at Walgreens up here in the little town of Lafayette. And she had, I believe it was lupus. I think that was the thing, lupus, that attacks your body attacks itself. But Pastor and Mother spent a whole afternoon with her after Shabbat service and had laid hands on her, and she was miraculously healed of lupus by the hands of the Most High. And since then, she went back into sin, and last I heard that the lupus had returned, but this was years ago, so I don't know what the fate of this woman was. In 2008, myself and Sister Diane, Granny Diane, had a horrible traffic wreck. Very devastating traffic wreck. And myself, I had a very, very badly mangled right leg. It was a lot of trauma to my right leg. And I had a foot degloving injury, which is basically that the sole of my foot was completely pulled off, stripped from the bone about two-thirds of the way up the bottom of my foot. So it was just hanging there, and it did extensive damage. Also extensive damage to my knee. I had a comminuted fracture of my right thigh where my bone came through my leg, and a bunch of other extensive injuries that I'm not going to get into right now. But what I'm getting to is that at the hospital, I was waiting for, they were prepping me for surgery, and Pastor Dowell came down there. I was under a lot of pain meds and other things, but I do for a fact recall that he came in there to see me when I was waiting on the gurney to go to surgery, that we held hands, and he prayed for me, and that injury to my foot, which is typically an automatic amputation, you had to see the extent of the injury. In fact, I have a photograph of someone else's foot that experienced the exact same injury. So if you ever want to see it, I have that picture. But Pastor Dowell prayed for me. I don't remember what words he prayed, but I know he asked the Father to heal me and protect me or watch out for me. You know, it's like a cloud now, this many years later, even at the time laying there in the emergency room. But I went through, I think it was almost 10 and a half hours of surgery to repair my leg. But the miracle was is that my foot is still on my body. And again, it's an injury that almost every time requires amputation, but Yahweh healed it, and so I still have my foot. Let's see, what else? Other acts of the Most High that were essentially miracles were the tornado of 2008 that devastated so many homes around the area here. We rebuked that tornado, which was headed, you can see the path of it, that it was headed towards us, and it miraculously was pushed to the northwest a little bit, just enough where it went on our northwest border of our property. We sustained virtually no damage at all. Even though we had downed trees and everything, the buildings were all intact and everything was preserved.
One more, hold on.
Myself and Pastor Dow were at Rivergate Mall. This was after the wreck in 2008. I was looking for, I believe, special shoes because I have to wear orthopedic shoes. And we were in the Rivergate Mall. And I was at a shoe store. Pastor had gone off looking around at some other stores for things. And there was a young woman in there. And she was an employee there. She was a salesperson. She was helping with shoes. And I could tell that she was in a lot of pain. And I asked her what was wrong. She said that she had a massive migraine that she had been having for like 3 days. And I asked her if she would mind if I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and Jesus would heal her of the migraine. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus healed her completely of her migraine. And she broke down. She cried nonstop, I would say 15 to 20 minutes. And had everybody in the store shook up because they couldn't figure out what was going on. But I don't know where it happened to her after that. But she was healed miraculously, instantly, of a massive migraine.
Hallelujah. All right. Mother Jennifer, share your heart.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, what amazing testimonies. And it's just wonderful to hear such awesome stories, awesome testimonies, you know, just from the very beginning of the faith of the saints of Straightway. So, wow. That's all I have to say. It's amazing. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We have some more. I do hope you all are enjoying them. We have some more stories. This was my reflections this week, and I talked to another sister. This is her second time hearing this. But let's talk about Jesus for just a quick moment, okay? A man that goes to be baptized in water, a man that the Spirit descends upon, okay, the Holy Spirit in full measure, a man, literally, of the flesh that begins to perform miracles. In the book of John, it talks about the water to wine and the first miracles, and it even says that it was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did. So you know that he had a beginning, okay? And then they were manifested forth in his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Okay, so at that time you had people believing on this man and his miracles. Very similar pattern to the miracles that began here as we continued the gospel from the beginning, the old guard being baptized by water, being filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And now, I must say, you know, social media is doing a lot of damage to the spirit of faith. The prophets proclaimed there will be a famine for the hearing of the word. And Paul said there will be many, many antichrists. And that's where we're at. Faith is something you have to find.
search for within yourself and manifest it from day to day. Because when he comes, will he find it in you? And these disciples, as you can read, some of them believed, some didn't. Heaven bears witness with the fruit of the Most High Yah who are his. Okay, so going back to the old guard and sharing this thought too, I reflected on how other mighty ones and other nations have other gods and other images. And the images could be, shaped, molded, printed on your printer, flashing before your computer screen, hanging on your mantle in your house, carved. All other mighty ones have many, many images. But our holy and righteous Creator made his only image man. And in that image, man was to continue in his abundant love and so much of Yah's, can I say, personality is inside man. Man. It's a beautiful, beautiful love story, but we are to walk out just as Jesus did the many, many miraculous things. We too could have that same power. All right? So back to stories of that same power. And maybe you've heard Pastor say before that he doesn't see the same, amount of miracles happening amongst the body and the people these days. Because we have to cultivate our own faith. And many, many years ago, and you're going to hear it tonight, faith was not in question. It's all that we had. And I truly say, when I was here at the beginning, man, that's all we had. It was no doubt. Okay, let's jump to an email. Pick one, Mother Jennifer. Read it. Tell them who it is that you're reading from.
Yes, ma'am. I'll start with Granny Barb's. Granny Barb's Testimonies of Jesus. She says, faith acts before life on the Straightway Community. Prayed eye healing scriptures after hearing a saint's testimony on healing. My eyes were healed. There were no more restrictions on driver's license, and it took 1 year of prayer. She says, I also received a call while home on Sabbath of my son being rushed to the hospital. He was at a baseball game and was playing shortstop. His leg was hit and the bone was shattered. I, as his praying mama, contacted the great physician. He ended up walking out of the emergency room. No swelling, no bruises, no pain, and no need of the ER doctor. Next is faith acts after living at Straightway Community. First, chainsaw accident. The chainsaw slipped and cut one of the brother's legs. We commanded the wound to seal off and for there to be no blood leakage. We wrapped a scarf around the wound, and when they took the scarf off later, there was no blood. Jesus sealed the wound. Next, there was a woman here who was nearly blind and was not able to see the rocks under her feet since the age of 5. She was in her 30s. In 45 minutes, Jesus cast out many devils, and we did commands of healing. Afterward, she was able to see the rocks under her feet and read billboard signs all the way back home to Kansas City. Sight was restored. Next, a deer knife cut a sister's finger. Rather than reaching for cayenne pepper and a bandage, Jesus sealed that wound right there and then. He zipped up the wound like a zipper, and there was no need for a bandage. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Beautiful. Let me share Granny Diane's. It was around 2004, 2005, and she mentioned that they would have people that would come down the hill and harass us, right, call us names. And they started saying that we have armed guards at the front gate. And she said, even though we never had, we realized they were actually seeing Yah's angels. And true story, and believe me, as I said, social media is really jacking up faith. Back in the day, no internet, no cell phones, just us and Yah. Grandma Vicky can tell you the story of the very tall angels that she saw at the front gate. I think it's humorous some of the lies early on actually were like half-truths manifest, because now we got a security team, you know. Back then they would talk about armed guards at the front gates. It's like, well, yeah, now you might see somebody, you know, just keep driving. And that's not the only humorous story from our perspective, because there's others, other stories, other lies they used to say that now we might be living a little closer to. It's just funny. Satan knows the end, too. Let's go to Granny Diane's testimony about the wreck. Okay, it was the one that Elder Becker just mentioned and spoke of his injuries. If I'm not mistaken, she had 17 broken bones. She was ejected out of the front glass window of the truck, and it was smashed. It was smashed. It was the length of a like AA battery between the steering wheel and the seat that literally collapsed in on Elder Becker's body. So imagine, you know, that impact to your chest when you're in the, you know, you're crammed in the width of a AA battery. And it says she was having a lot of trouble. Okay, this is her testimony. I'm just picking pieces off of it. It says she was having a lot of trouble with her left hip and her tailbone area, obviously due to the trauma of a very, very serious car accident and killed the family, mother, father, three children that were just one car behind them. So it was a impact from behind that killed that family and then ejected her, and Elder Becker was trapped in the vehicle. They used the jaws of life to get him out. One Sabbath, she says, Pastor had me come up to the front so that he could pray for me, and she had the testimony that she had a very similar experience, similar to the sister that Pastor has mentioned before, whose leg actually grew out when he laid hands on her, the one that came here with a shorter leg. It was very similar because she had a hobble and pain in her hip. But she did say here in her testimony that ever since then that she's not gotten any pain and that she's able to walk without a limp. And that's just one of the many body healings that she's actually had. Some of you, if you followed long enough, you've heard her name even mentioned in videos for miraculous things that the Most High has done through Pastor Dow's hands, too. Mother Jennifer, let's go back to one of your emails.
Yes, ma'am. I'll read Mother Carol's testimony. She says, where do I begin on the testimonies of faith that I have witnessed in all the years of being at Straightway? I've seen many moves of Yah take place within myself and others. I'll begin with my own testimony of a very serious health issue that took place maybe 20 years ago. My colon completely shut down on me, not knowing what or why it was happening at the time. At first, it started with 3 weeks, then 3 months, then 3 years of complete colon malfunction with no bowel movements at all. This was at a time when there was no deliverance because we had not come into the knowledge of it as of yet. So I myself was willing to die in the faith. Going to a doctor was not an option for me personally because I knew that they would want to remove body parts, which is all they can do. They would not have been able to diagnose me with what was really taking place, which was spiritual. So my frame began to melt away. Toxins were filling up in my body until I was in a skeleton-like state. During those times, we lived knowing that our King was coming. Through my husband's prayers and leading him to the knowledge of demons, this is how Straightway got started in the deliverance ministry that we know of today. I was healed and set free, and I know that faith in Yah kept me alive for those years. She said, I've seen accounts of miraculous happenings on this land through faith. I can recall the brothers working on our neighbor's land, chopping down a tree for them. In their diligent cutting, the tree was falling the wrong way. We could not afford to pay for neighbors' homes. We barely had homes for ourselves, and I remember as the tree was leaning just mere yards from falling on the house, and Pastor shouted, Jesus, the tree stopped in midair until the brothers were able to get chains to pull it the opposite way. Faith in his name held up that tree for so long. My daughter, riding on an ATV, crashed into a tree, flew up and hit the ground, was able to walk home, but then her head swole up 3 times its size, which meant brain damage. Pastor stayed up all night laying hands on her and praying for her through faith. She fully recovered and was a straight-A student with no brain damage and went to college on a full scholarship. Faith in Yah kept her not only from dying, but from having any brain damage. I recall us being in the dining hall, and we had not had rain for quite some time, desperately needing it for our garden. Through prayers of the men of Yah, a rain cloud came and rained directly over our garden and nowhere else. And after it was sufficiently watered, the rain cloud took off. Faith in our Father watered our garden that day. She says, I can recall in 2008 when a tornado was coming right towards our land. Pastor rebuked the tornado and it turned. We literally watched it and went up the creek. None of the saints nor the homes were damaged. Faith and Yah's word kept that tornado from destroying Yah's people and Yah's property. She says, I could go on about the many things that have taken place. However, my prayer is that we will see these miraculous things happen again, whether they be healing or miracles or needs manifested. I pray that we will put Yah first and truly decipher what things call for outside sources and what things are just a matter of our faith being tested. May we learn the difference in these last days. Sister Ashley, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, is that all of our emails?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. If any of you have any questions, comments related to tonight or unrelated, please, type them in at this time, chat room. If you need to call, let me give it to you. It's 310-982-4226. Yes, Aya, pure faith. It was amazing. It was amazing. My personal, hope would be that we would walk in that sort of power continually, independently, no matter where you are. No matter where you are. Right? This is not a message about community, believe it or not, even though I'm sharing the souls that are on the community and their stories. This is about people believing inside themselves and manifesting it outside themselves. The unseen realm of faith. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for, the evidence of what you don't see. It is the thing that you don't see. I'm going to say it again. It's the thing that you don't see that you're aiming for, right? That you're wanting. It's the victory you don't see, or the healing you don't see, or that hope that you don't see. Whatever it is that you're aiming for. And you can produce faith. Yes, you can. It's a press. It's a press. I want to give I opened up with the incidents and the persecutions and the things that would come upon us as a community. Also testing the hearts of the people to see if they would follow Pastor Dow from the very, very beginning. The attack has and will always be against him to smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. From the beginning, the lies and the accusations were mainly against and towards him. Independently, everyone had their own stories of being separated from their families, losing their families, and it's very painful, tragic, and a lot of agony, a lot of sacrifice, and that is exactly what everyone who has followed has been through. So to the selected election of the few that started it, they were simply starting something that would continue. And I bless the Most High Yah for, as I said, watching on the TV screen, the men who presented themselves very well, representing the Most High and Jesus Christ, our Messiah, on the interview last night. It's a beautiful thing to come from our beginnings, to see and know each and all of you, and to know you have stories to press through and you have testimonies. You have people who don't like you. You have opposition in your homes and in your community house. You know, you have stories of faith and healing. I hope you have times that perhaps you lean to the arm of the flesh and you shouldn't have, right? So I'm giving you examples of people who have not wavered. And honor, of course, to everyone on this land. Hallelujah. I want to give you an instance in Ezekiel in chapter 37. Ezekiel, if you have read that story, was dropped down in the valley of dry bones. And the Most High said, can these bones live? Okay. You got to understand the dynamic of a vision. For example, it's going to be something that you see in the vision of your mind and not something presented in the natural. Okay, and to everyone across social media saying they see visions and they hear things and all these things going on, it might be hard for you to decipher or discern who's really speaking the truth. And for the most part, if it hinders your faith, I would avoid them all. Stick very close to the fruit that you see within the ministry because heaven bears witness here. Back to Ezekiel, though. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, man, Most High, you know what? You know, you know. Can you imagine the father asking you something? You go, you know, like, I'm not even trying. I don't know. There's bones. Like, can they live? You know? And he's being ministered to by the Spirit of Yah. So why would he say, you know? Because could he be struggling to believe? In the natural, his eyes see the valley of dry bones. In the spirit, he's hearing a marching army. And in the spirit, Yah's going, can they live? You can pick between your, what your eyes see and what your ears hear. Ezekiel had to choose. You're going to agree with your eyes and what you observe in the natural realm? Are you going to agree with that? You going to agree that Pastor Dow is a woman hater? You going to agree? With everything presented against him, all the accusations. You think I've ever heard accusations against Pastor Dow? Absolutely. I've heard them about you too. Have you ever heard accusations about me? Absolutely. Anything not to listen to this show, right? Anything not to ask her any questions, right? A young girl named, what was her name? Anna. Remember the family of 10, Grandma Barb? I had no idea that Anna was struggling internally. I had no idea. It was a greeting and a bless you and a hallelujah every time I saw her, and a hallelujah for me and glory and hallelujah and what's going on. And finally she opens up to say, I've always heard a voice that said, don't talk to her. Don't talk to her. Don't talk to her. Don't go over there. Don't go over there. I don't know what Satan's saying to you. Right? Back to Ezekiel. He chose to agree with what his ears heard. That's amazing, actually. Because at that point, when he began to hear with his ears, he began to speak. And in the account, Ezekiel 37, when he's speaking, then and only then, the things change. Wow, you got bones coming together, flesh, sinew wrapping around them. The breath of the Most High enters into them. They stand up like a mighty army. That's what I heard. Right? That's the word we're hearing. That's the faith message we're hearing. We're hearing it now, right? We're hearing this message come forth now. You might not be seeing a lot of things with your eyes, but we can cultivate this belief and these miracles and these healings, even in a time of a dead season. As something as small or menial as sticking your hands in dirt and growing a plant to having a story of staying at home when you were sick and Yah healing you. To giving birth at home. You know, to having fears of opening up your home on the Sabbath day to other saints and people you don't know, sharing things that I really don't want you to sit on, and I really don't want you to break that, right? Coming together and really not fearing being exposed, not fearing failing. It's not each of us that keeps one another together anyway. My list is very small on who I'd want to live with. And there's more people here than on my list. And that's probably just like yours. But I don't make that list. I don't pick that list. The Most High Yah does an amazing job at picking lists for me, to grind me, to perfect me, and if you're going to do the same thing to you, I hope that it helped you or inspired you even with Ezekiel, because it's really easy to look at the natural state of things and to speak the wrong things. It's really easy to even come here on the Sabbath day and be like, what the hell? I'm just saying, I don't know what you'd be seeing. I just know Satan's talking. He don't clock out. You know, he'll come at you in your dream. And so agreeing with the situation or the circumstance can really be one-sided, you know? It can be one-sided. So, yeah, let's start eliminating some of the voices in our mind. Let's start believing. Hallelujah. That's really all I wanted to share. Amazing truths and glories from the chat room. You know, these are some – I share so many things that Deacon Bell has poured into me, you know, on a one-on-one. I share so many of the things that as, you know, he speaks to me, I take home or, you know, take into my quiet place and I study and I think and I try to grow. And I've had some game time moments, Mother Jennifer, with faith. I've had some game time moments. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about the faith that you might produce. It doesn't matter about what anyone says about what you might go through, what you might live through, the pain, the trial, the persecution, whatever. It doesn't matter. Because in your heart of hearts, you know that you produce faith. You know what you believe. And may I quote my brother James out there from, goodness, where's James from originally, Grandma Barb? Do you remember? Charmaine's James, my brother.
Georgia.
Man. Brother James,
Georgia.
I can't wait. Georgia, thank you, Georgia, Mother Jennifer. He said, I can't wait till showtime. Because everyone who's talking smack, saying they got faith, you know, they're not gonna be the voice that's heard. We're gonna really, really see, Mother Jennifer. We're gonna see who's got faith. Like, it's gonna be clear. The time is coming. And it's gonna be game time. Showtime, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And, you know, when you come out of a trial with a testimony of faith, it just truly changes your mind. It changes your mind to really focus on trusting Yah. And I like when you talked about just, you know, speaking and confessing with your mouth, you know, a confession of faith. Because the devil wants you to confess the negative. But if you confess faith from the standpoint of the word of Yah, you know, you have to have the word of Yah in your heart. You have to be able to make the statements from the word that's in your heart. Without the word of Yah, you're not going to be able to make the proper confessions of faith. And when we read these testimonies, we go over the testimonies that we just talked about, you know, there was a lot of commanding, a lot of praying. And in order for that to happen, you had to have the word of Yah in your heart. So you're not going to be able to do the proper commanding, to do the proper praying, if you don't have his word in your heart first and foremost. Sister Ashley.
Beautiful. Thank you, chat room, for listening in. We're wrapping up. Hallelujah. I had something come to mind. I got to say it. No, we don't do birthdays. No, we don't do birthdays. If you're thinking it, if you're wondering, if you're asking it, hey, today's my sister's birthday. I just so happened to look at my phone. When was the last time I said happy birthday? Oh, I don't know, 16 years, I guess, 16 years ago. It'd be pretty interesting to have 144,000 saints in the kingdom and us all celebrating birthdays, right? How in the world can we even fathom that? I don't think, I believe that no matter what your question is, with 6,000 videos on Pastor Dell's channel, I believe you'll find your answer. At least find some direction for you to cultivate your faith. Sometimes you'll get just enough, you know, a nugget, something that will carry you on. I hope that you're able to have your soul fed here. I hope that you are. But back to the interview last night, I enjoyed it. I really did. And I hope that you guys were just as appreciative to be here, to be gathered and to be called out and to be a part of the gathering that's continuing to happen. It really is according to election and favor. Very, very thankful. What else? Let's see. Any announcements? Nothing in the chat room. Probably didn't seem like the show to even call in, but it's just in my heart to open up that phone line a little bit more this dead season. So you get something during the week and it really lays on your mind to call in and share, just know that we'll, Yah willing, continue to do that. Let's see. Anything else, Mother Jennifer? I think we spoke enough. Thank you for reading for us tonight.
No, ma'am. I don't have anything else, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right. I got a beautiful, beautiful song. Hallelujah. From beloved Sister Jordan here in the community. Another shout out and thank you to my family here on the land. Thank y'all so much for tuning in and listening. Glory, hallelujah, to the laborers in the vineyard, from the smallest and youngest to the least to the greatest, literally from my heart to yours. Thank you so much for tuning in. Y'all enjoy the song and the shofar at the end. Praise his holy name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, my King.